Hare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
An awful lot of closed mouths, open, sing.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Bala Bhagiri Madan Hari. Jai Gopi Jana Bala Bhagiri Madan Hari.
Open your mouth. Sing.
Gopi Jana Bala Bhagiri Madan Hari. Jasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Indaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Sing in the back, the boys in the back.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Padi Pajakacharya Asvatara Satyashri Shriman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Padi Pajakacharya Asvatara Satyashri Shriman, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Rinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopinath Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Mathura Dham ki jai. Navadweep Dham ki jai. Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Jagannath Swami ki jai. Jamunamaya ki jai. Ganga Maya ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Srimati Tulsi Maharani ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Go Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. So we're reading today from the third canto of the Bhagavatam. We're on the seventh chapter. We're on text number 12. And I'll give you a sneak preview. It's a hard verse to understand, okay? We'll do our best. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Let's say this together if you know it. Narayanam namaskritcham naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Now here's the question. Do you know the translation? Can we do that together? Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan. Unto Naranarayan Rishi, supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, and we like to add, and to Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. Because if we didn't have the translation, and we didn't have his explanation, we really wouldn't understand very much. By regular attendance in the classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is almost completely destroyed, eradicated. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as irrevocable fact. What does that mean, irrevocable fact? The little kids from the Bana school, okay? Thank you. For how about this side? Because this side gets picked on because they're right in front of me. How about this side? Irrevocable. What does irrevocable mean? When I was younger, I used to say it irrevocable because that would help me remember what it was. That was just a few weeks ago. Irrevocable. You can't revoke it. You can't take it back. Yes. Undeniable. It's whatever advancement you make by coming to class and not playing with your friends during class and you're sitting nicely, any advancement that you make is permanently yours. What do you think about that? Sounds like a good deal, huh? So let's try. Even though at different stages of your life, class is interesting or less interesting, or not interesting at all, at different stages you'll go through that. I don't know if you're experiencing that right now or not, but try your best while you have this opportunity. Do you remember one thing that Chanaka Pandit says about time, utilization of time? As soon as I say it, you'll remember it, but I'm probably not giving you a good enough hint. If you use your time properly, that's great. What if you waste your time? Yes,
it's a waste of time.
It is a waste of time if you waste your time. And what if you wanted to buy back? What if we could just say, if you had some money, you could buy back that time you wasted. Could you buy it back and do it again? What if you had $1 million? That's a lot of money. You should be able to do it with $1 million. You can't get it back. It just keeps going. So although it sounds like a funny thing, you know, can't buy back time, it's wasted, just try to see how that applies to what we were saying about the verse, that about this, the translation, that's irrevocable. Whatever advancements you make is yours permanently. There's not anything else that you can say that is yours permanently. You know, your car, your friends, your this, your that, so many things. It's not yours permanently. Neither, guess what else? Your body. It's not yours permanently. You're going to be in it for a certain time, and then you're going to get, it's not going to be yours anymore. You're going to go on to another one. But if you can utilize your time and bring your mind, although it likes to go all over the place, and so does mine, bring your time while you're here in this auspicious gathering and try to focus in. It'll be really good for you. Okay, you want to hear the verse? Okay, we're on verse 12. Savai nivritti dharmena. Savai nivritti dharmena. Vasudeva nukampaya. Vasudeva nukampaya. Bhagavad bhakti yogena. Bhagavad bhakti yogena. Tirodate shanar iha. Tirodate shanar iha. Savai
Nivritti Dharmena.
Vasudevanukampaya. Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena. Tiro Tate Shanar Iha. Please chant. Vasudeva Nukampaya. Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena. Drodate Shanariha.
Save Nivritti Dharmena.
Vasudeva Nukampaya. Vasudeva Nukampaya. Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena.
Tirodhate Sanariha. Tirodhate Sanariha.
Savai Nivritti Dharmena.
Savai Nivritti Dharmena.
Vasudevanukampaya.
Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena. Students? Oh, good.
Nivritti
Dharmena.
Vasudeva
Nukampaya. Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena. Dhirodate Shanariha. Students? Savai Nivritti Dharmena.
Vasudeva
Nukampaya.
Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena.
Dhirodhate Shanariha. Dharmena. Vasudeva Nukampaya.
Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena.
Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena.
Tirodhate Shanariha.
Two, okay, thanks. The word for word, and listen to the word. There's a few words in here that are very important. I mean, all of them are, but some will stick out. Saha, that. Vai, also. Nivritti, detachment. Nivritti, detachment. Nivritti, detachment. Okay, close your eyes, everybody. Nivritti, and it means? I figured you knew that. Okay,
Dharmena,
by engagement.
Vasudeva,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Anukampaya,
by mercy of,
by the mercy of,
Bhagavat,
in relation with the Supreme Personality of
Godhead. Bhakti Yogena,
by linking up.
Tirodhate,
diminishes.
Shanai,
gradually.
Shanai,
gradually.
Iha,
in this existence.
So Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. But let me just offer my respects to Srila Prabhupada. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshu Umilitam Jaina Tasmai Shugurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance and I was totally wasting my whole life. Totally. And I couldn't buy it back 1 second worth of wasted time. But, very fortunately, I came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, and even though I wanted to keep my eyes shut because I didn't want to change anything, he forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So where does that leave me? Indebted to Srila Prabhupada. Life after life after life after life. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Okay, here's the translation.
By that misconception of self, But that misconception of self-identity can be diminished gradually. Gradually. What was gradually in our words? Shanai. Gradually, gradually. Shanai. Okay. But that misconception of self-identity can be diminished gradually by the mercy. What was the mercy word? Good girls, thanks. Anukampaya. Of the personality of Godhead Vasudeva through the process of devotional service to the Lord in the mode of
detachment.
And the detachment word was what?
Nivritti.
Okay, now I'll do it again. But that misconception of self-identity can be diminished gradually by the mercy of the personality of Godhead Vasudeva through the process of devotional service to the Lord in the mode of detachment. Okay, so this first sentence is a long sentence and there's a lot in it. But let's go first before I start that. What we're talking about, remember last week's class, Ram Govinda gave class, remember? Very nice class. And he was talking about something wiggling. Do you remember that? Water was shivering, quivering, exactly. The water was quivering. And what was reflected on the water? The moon. The moon was in the sky. There was a pot of water on the ground. And you could see the moon if you looked at the pot of water. What does that remind you of from Mahabharata stories? Yes. Yeah.
There was this challenge.
Challenge. Yeah.
And to look at its reflection in a bowl of water.
And who was that person? Do you remember? Do you remember who that person was? Yes, next to you. Arjuna. That was a big test. Don't do this, but if we wanted to pop out one of those light bulbs in the chandelier, right? In the middle chandelier. Now, don't tell Mukhya that I'm saying this as an example, okay? But the rule is you can't look at it. You have to look at a pot of water. That's really hard. And then guess what else? The water, they made the water wiggle. That's the quivering. They made the water wiggle. So it's even harder, right? Okay, so that's one example. Now, this example of the quivering water, it's a hard example to understand, okay? So try to wrap your head around this for a few minutes. Our identity is spirit soul, right? We know that from the books, right? The books tell us, the scriptures tell us, we're a spirit soul. But unfortunately, what do we think? We think we're the body, right? Just like we know we're a spirit soul, but just yesterday I touched some stinging nettle, and it's still stinging on my thumb. So I think, ouch, it hurts. But that's not me, that's my body. So, okay, the moon is compared to our real identity. The reflection on the water is what we're thinking we are. We're thinking we're quivering, we're thinking we're this, we're thinking we're that. That's not us. That's just a reflection. It's a misconception. Okay, so here this verse starts off with, that misconception of thinking that we're the body, which... Does anybody think they're their body? Yeah. I mean, I know I'm not my body, but that's only like theoretical. But Vishwambar is helping me try to learn that nicely. Okay, so that misconception of thinking that we're the body, and then what happens if we think we're the body, then we act in a way that we think the body can be happy, and then what do? We waste time, and then we're wasting time, but are we just wasting time? We're not just wasting time. Everything that we're doing while we're wasting time is we're getting a reaction for. Ugh. And sometimes if we do something good, we get a good reaction. Sometimes we do something bad, we get a bad reaction. So we're wasting time accumulating karma, which means what?
Another body.
So it's not just a waste of time. It's very sad, isn't it? It's very, what they say, entangling. You ever bump into a spider web?
You know, those golden orb. You talked about it in your class. Golden orb. Golden orb spider web. They're not small little spider webs. They're huge, right? And the golden orb spider is also known as, don't say, teach. What's the golden, okay, wait a minute. You guys, okay. No, somebody else over this side. Girls, what's the name of the, yes, dear?
Banana spider.
Banana spider. Big, big banana spider. And so, have you ever, do you know how that web is produced? Does he get it from the trees and he spins the pine needles into feathers? Are you Naruto? Yeah, Naruto.
The spider creates it from its own body.
Yeah, saliva. Anyway, so when you bump into a spider web, what happens? A big spider web. You get it all over yourself. And then you try to pull it off and it gets stuck all over the place. It's entangling. Now I forget why I got onto that subject. Entangling. We get entangled in materialistic activities. Thank you, Krishna. We get entangled in materialistic activities, using our time improperly, creating karma that's going to produce another body. This body that we're in now, are you always happy? Yeah, especially during Bhagavatam class, probably. But all, you know, and at the same time, and not only are you sometimes not happy, but sometimes you're like miserable, right? Sometimes, you know, you even break a leg right before a soccer match. My God, that would be terrible, wouldn't it? You know, so many, there's physical anxieties and there's mental anxieties and there's so many, and there's tests coming up. Are you going to pass the grade? So many, are you going to get on the team? So many anxieties are there. That's what's going to happen in another body. Only worse and worse and worse and worse. Over and over and over again. Not a very good way to use your time. But not easy to get out. Because we've heard we're not our body, yes?
And also, you might not even take birth as a human.
Oh my gosh, it's totally true. He said, you also might not even take birth as a human. But if you've eaten some prasadam, there's a good hope for that, okay? All right, so, taking birth again is not a good bargain, especially as the days go by. So, how to get out? We've heard we're not our body, right? A million times, maybe? And we believe it, and we try to act on it, but still that conception is really stuck in our brain. So, here's a big test now. Good, don't move it. Can you remember from the verse what the solution is? You're stretching at the wrong time. You might get called on. Hold on, Narta. Can you remember what the verse said was how we get out of that misconception? I can't remember. But go ahead.
Devotional service.
You're totally 100% correct. And there's a particular quality, is that Sundari? Sundari, can you tell us?
Service in the mood of detachment.
Can you just say it a tad louder? Because all I heard was detachment, which is correct. But
service and the mood of detachment.
Service and the mood of detachment. And then what about the Shanai word? Shanai. Gradually. So, what does gradually mean? We got to get it. We got to get it down so that we understand it. It means that it doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't happen the first time you heard you're not your body. It doesn't happen the second time. It takes practice. Okay, so tell me something that you're doing right now that you did for the very first time and you did it perfectly, expertly the very first time. Some examples. Narda has an example. Okay.
Drawing a panda for the first time.
You drew a panda for the first time and it was excellent. Thank you. That's a great example. Some of us, when we draw, people have to say, and can you explain this picture to me? What does that mean? You know? So, Narda?
Not sitting still.
Not sitting still. He's a philosopher. Okay, great. He's not sitting still perfectly. In other words, he's wiggling all around. Okay. No. Okay. The point that I'm trying to get you to agree to, that I'm making, is everything takes practice. Soccer takes practice. Math takes practice. Madanga takes practice. What else takes practice? Devotional service takes practice. What else? Practically. Yes, dear. Dancing takes practice. It takes a lot of practice. Yes. You have soccer practice. And why do you have soccer practice? Why?
So we can win.
So you can get better and better and win all the games. Okay, thanks for coming, Hare Krishna. Yeah, so everything takes practice. Devotional service takes practice. I think I should read the first sentence of the purport, right? Okay. Okay, be a little quiet. Is that okay while you're leaving? The quivering quality of material existence. Okay, this is the sentence that's hard to understand, okay? Listen. The quivering quality, we have some quivering going on. So the quivering quality of material existence, which comes from identification with matter, from thinking oneself under the material influence of philosophical speculation to be God, can be eradicated by devotional service to the Lord by the mercy of the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Okay, I need a translation of that sentence. Can some of the girls give me a translation of the sentence? It's a hard sentence. It's not hard, but it's long, so there's lots of little ifs and buts and qualifiers. The quivering quality of material existence. What did we say was the quivering quality, girls? What did we say was the quivering nature? What's quivering? The water's quivering. What does that mean? Okay. You have a problem because I don't always express myself properly, but try to guess what I'm really asking. Hold on a second. What is that? What are we talking about when we talk about that quivering? What's quivering? Our conception of ourself, we're misidentifying the reflection of the moon. We're thinking that the reflection of the moon on the water is the moon. It isn't. It's a reflection. We're thinking, I'm in this body and this is me. We're not, that's not me. The body's not me. The me is the eternal spirit soul. So that, and then the quivering for the soul is, wiggles, too many wiggles. The quivering for the soul is that we think that the difficulties that I'm going through in this body are disaster, are terrible, are happiness, are distress, are real. We're thinking that it's real, but it's not. It's going to come and it's going to go. And the real thing is my identity as a spirit soul servant of Krishna. And that can be realized by Shanai. Gradually doing what? Practicing devotional service. Exactly. Okay. We made it through the first sentence. Good. As discussed in the first canto, because the application of devotional service to the Lord invites, interesting, huh? It invites pure knowledge. It quickly detaches one from material conception of life and thus revives or awakens, revives one's normal condition of spiritual existence, even in this life. And frees one from the material winds. Okay, hold on, I'm going to talk to you about winds in a second. Material winds which cause one to quiver. That's what's making the water quiver. That's the winds, the modes of material nature. Sometimes you're in a good mood. Are you ever in a bad mood?
Yes.
Ditto. Sometimes everything's going smoothly. Does things go smoothly for you? Sometimes, right? Do they always go smoothly? No. Sometimes you make a huge endeavor and somebody doesn't like it and you think, oh, what a drag. But all of that, those are the modes of nature, the goodness, passion, and ignorance, causing the mind to identify with here and now. I, me, and mine. I, me, and mine. Ew. That's not who we are. This is me. This is mine. I'm this. That's going to change in a few minutes, especially for me. You never know. It could be right now. You know, that misconception is easily eradicated by how? And not the same answer that you've always been giving. This is a little from this verse, from the sentence that we just read. What gets invited? What comes invited into our life by practicing devotional service? Someone over there, I heard a little mumbling.
Pure knowledge.
Pure knowledge. By how? What? How? By pure knowledge, reading the scriptures, performing devotional service. What comes in, what's the result of that invitation into our life? What's the result of that?
Detachment.
Okay, so here's the thing. I want everybody not to meditate on chocolate cake with whipped cream. So don't think of chocolate cake and with whipped cream right now, okay? Okay? And how are you going to not do that? Okay, good idea. Thanks. So, chocolate cake with whipped cream sounded really, or carrot cake, depending on which side of the line you are on that discussion. Okay, carrot cake with whipped cream sounds like a good idea. No, it doesn't? Okay. Anyway, it sounds like a good idea, but I'll bring you 30 of them, and I want you to eat all of them. Nuh-uh, right? It's not a good idea. There's a limit. So how do we get detached? By thinking of something else, by doing something else, by putting our mind in another place. Similarly. How do we get detached from things in the material world that, you know, aren't particularly conducive to spiritual advancement? I'm not going to play soccer. Like that? I'm not going to go to the movies. I'm not going to go to the springs. I'm not saying those are bad things. I'm just, you know, trying to, you know. How are we going to do that? From what we just read, inviting pure knowledge, it invokes what?
Detachment.
And how does that detachment come? By, in Bhagavad Gita, it says, param drishtva nivartante. Param, higher. By developing a higher taste, one gives up a lower taste. It's not like, I'm not going to do it. No, this higher taste gives me more pleasure. So therefore, I'm going to the things that give lasting pleasure. And those other things, gradually, on their own, they become less and less attractive. On their own. But we have to make the endeavor. And that's the thing that Srila Prabhupada's always trying to bring to us. Remember how he would say, just use this human form of life properly. Don't waste your time in things that are not going to bring you eternal happiness. Yes, a new iPhone, and yes, a new iPad, and yes, a new this, and yes, a new that will bring you some pleasure until it breaks. But it won't bring you permanent happiness. But by hearing from the scriptures and doing devotional service and learning more and more about Krishna and getting more and more absorbed in kirtan, etc., and activities like that, that'll bring you permanent happiness. Yes, Mr. Narda?
I think the Madanga could give you...
A Madanga could give you unlimited happiness, it's true, and so could kartals, and so could a microphone and a Madanga and a singer, if they were singing Hare Krishna, right? So you're right. So that's another point. Utilize everything in Krishna's service, and it will bring you happiness. It will bring you happiness, and you'll have service your whole life if you learn to play Madanga like you do. Okay, a couple more sentences. The development of knowledge for the purpose of knowing everything. Is that possible, to know everything? The development of knowledge for the purpose of knowing everything without rendering devotional service is considered fruitless labor. What does fruitless labor mean in our everyday English? A fruitless labor. Over there on the girls' side? I have to pick on the girls a little bit, okay? Is that all right, girls? Girls' side, what does fruitless labor mean? What does a fruitless tree mean? Can I have one spokesperson that speaks a little loud?
No fruit.
So fruitless labor. Labor that's not going to bring any fruit, meaning result. It's not going to bring any good result. Fruitless labor. So what's about fruitless labor? That trying to know everything without performing devotional service is a waste of time. And one cannot get the desired result by such a labor of love. Oh, Jai. Hare Krishna, thank you. Pure devotees of the Lord are transcendental to all material desires, including the desires for the results of fruitive activities and philosophical speculation. If one wants to acquire the mercy of the Lord, he has to associate with pure devotees. Such association alone can, by degrees, what was the word for degrees? Slowly, slowly? Chennai. By degrees, such association alone can, by degrees, release one from the quivering elements. Just again, we'll do that, we'll translate that. So it means that little by little, by hearing devotional service, by coming to class regularly, by hearing little by little on your own, by chanting little by little on your own, by doing devotional service in whatever circumstance you have, little by little you'll be making progress, and you'll see that automatically, your taste for spiritual life will increase, and your attraction for banging your hands on your wrists will decrease gradually. Because you'll be paying so much attention and you'll be so absorbed that you won't want to wiggle around so much sometimes. Sometimes, not all the time, but anyway, it's a gradual process. In other words, one of our problems is the mind. Have you noticed that? And another problem about the mind is that it's stuck on your shoulders because you carry it around all the time, right? And sometimes the mind is happy and says good things to you. Oh, you're doing a good job. Yeah, you're making progress. You can do good. And sometimes the mind says, I'm good for nothing. Oh, I can't do it. I'm not smart enough. I can't remember my verses. I'm not this. I'm not that. I don't know my colors well enough. Whatever. But that's the nature of the mind to pull us down. But By engaging in devotional service and associating with the pure devotee, gradually we can become released from the clutches of the mind. That's amazing, isn't it? Because who's really got us captivated? Is it your teachers and your schools? It's our mind that has us captivated, thinking, I can do it, or I can't do it, or I'm this, or I can't. And that identification with the mind brings us to a lower state of consciousness. Why? If we identify, well, I'm a spirit soul, a part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna's in my heart, and Krishna's also in the heart of all the other people that I meet. And all the other people that I haven't met, and even all the grasses, and even all the worms, and so many things, he's in their heart. So therefore, one treats with the same respect and love that one wants to get treated with, one treats other living entities. Easy? Mm-mm. Does it happen right away? You treat everyone equally? Mm-mm. It's a gradual process, slowly by slowly. Okay, any thoughts or questions or comments or things that you can remember before you all have to leave again? I wanted to give you a chance to say something. Anything you can remember? That's what I thought. No. How about the word for slowly, slowly? How about the word for detachment? Nivritti. And, okay, here's one. How about the word for mercy of the Lord? Anukampaya. Good. It was a team effort. Thanks. That's the mercy of the Lord. So that's what we want to try to get by going through this process gradually. And don't be discouraged if you don't get it down right away. It's a gradual process. That means we have to keep endeavoring. Any big person's comments or questions or contributions in any way, corrections? Thank you very kindly. Thank you so much. Okay, I'll read the verse one more time. But that misconception of self-identity can be diminished gradually by the mercy of the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, through the process of devotional service to the Lord in the mode of detachment. So, we can engage in the process of devotional service and gradually diminish the quivering or our identification, our self-identification with material nature, which Prabhupada alludes to the first chapter here. I'll just say this since there is a few more minutes. The first chapter, first canto, second chapter, verse number 7, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahai Tukam. That by rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the Lord. Yes, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
You used to teach the kids?
No, but I have a mentality like a kid, so I can relate to them. No.
You're really connected with them, I think. Here's one of these, I invented a word.
Uh-huh.
It's called ap-contra.
App, one more time, please.
Ap-contra.
Ap-contra.
An apparent contradiction.
Uh-huh.
And for me, in my study, it comes up so often that I to save time, instead of saying apparent contradiction, I just say ap-contra. So
okay,
another one.
Uh-huh, understand,
and
thank you.
And this is relating to this class, I believe, in that, on the one hand, you really can't have your cake and eat it too, as we say. We give the example that you can't cross a river with 1 foot in one canoe and 1 foot in another canoe. You have to really find your footing and your stability in devotional service, but at the same time, it's a gradual process, shanai shanai and all that. So, for many of us, the much too extended interim period before we really become situated in the right canoe, it seems like, you know, we may be following the principles nicely, chanting our 16 rounds, but psychologically, it seems like maybe we're still, you know, sneaking in, so to speak, some of the lower taste along with the higher taste. So, how can both work together, and at the same time we're hearing that they really don't work together?
Great discussion, thank you. It reminds me of Arjuna's arguments in the beginning, in this end of first chapter, second chapter of the Gita. Not exactly the same, but similar. So Arjuna, that was his bewilderment. And Krishna was, he said, chapter 3, why do you urge me to engage in this ghastly warfare if you think that intelligence is better than fruit of work? And it's explained that our misconception is to think that spiritual life means total negation of material activities. But Krishna explains, Prabhupada explains that there are two duties in life, our svabhava and svadharma, is that it? That we have our, you know, to maintain the body, etc., etc., and we have our eternal spiritual duties. And so Krishna's urging Arjuna, no, it's not that spiritual life means renunciation, total renunciation of material activities, but it means you have to do both things at the same time. So I know that you're asking, how do you, I'm understanding that you're asking, how do you do both things at the same time, and at the same time give preference to spiritual progress? Did I catch that correctly? Is that the gist of your question, or did I miss the point?
Yeah, I mean, we've heard many times about Joshayat Sarvakarmani Vidvan Yukta Samachara, that the intelligent people, they advise people to dovetail things, and you mentioned how you can still do what you like to do, but offer it to Krishna. I don't want to pretend to be more confused than I am, just to not confuse everybody else. But Anyway, maybe I'm okay.
Anyway, just to continue on with the theme is that that's what it means, practice devotional service. That's what it means gradually. We especially are encouraged to avoid grossly sinful activities. And then there's the subtle ones that are not so easy. And oftentimes we don't even realize. We're so covered over by a self-identity. This is me and this is what makes me happy. We don't even realize that half of the things that we do are, or half of the things that I do are related to my body and my personal comforts and everything. And it takes a level of purity to even realize that. You know, it takes spiritual advancement to realize how covered we are. So it's a gradual process, and that's why we don't encourage people to chant as many rounds as you want. It's okay. I mean, maybe when they first walk in the door, yes, you know. But as someone who's been associated with Moon, who comes and takes initiation vows, it's a vow. When I feel like it, I'm going to chant. And when I don't feel like it, or I don't feel like I'm in good consciousness, I'm still going to chant because it's my vow. And those vows save us when the quivering of the mind and the circumstances give us so many reasons why apparently it would be better if we didn't chant or do it later or whatever. So we take these, we have the four regulative principles, we have our basic vows, and that at least keeps us on the path so that as the mind quivers and the modes of material nature, you know, attack us, we'll still keep within the boundaries of devotional service and gradually make progress. Would anyone else like to add something to that? Or
I have a question.
Yes, I see that. Go ahead.
Probably has something to do with it. Thank you for your really thoughtful class. You know, I was thinking Prabhupada is a genius. I mean, I know he is, but I'm realizing more and more how when he first started the movement, we don't see this process of detachment so much because Prabhupada immediately said, you know, you get up early, you practice, coming to Mangala Arati, you chant your rounds, you dress the deities, you cook for the deities. So we are so absorbed in following what Prabhupada told us to do that we don't realize like we are gradually we don't see the detachment. Yeah. But I mean, I noticed this, I just came back from Chicago, 2 weeks my brother just passed away. And, you know, I was brought up a Hindu, you know, in so many different ways. But I've been following this process for so long, especially almost being like a temple devotee my whole life. So when I went there, you know, my brother-in-law, he's Muslim, and he would cook breakfast in the morning, and he cooked separately for me and, you know, make sure nothing was stuck. And they would all sit and, you know, because I would go someplace, finish my rounds, come back, and they're all sitting there looking at me, and I said, what's wrong? They said, oh, we're waiting for you to offer the food.
Oh.
And, you know, little things like that, and they respect that I took some time off to be away, chanting my rounds, took some time to listen to class here, to read. They had so much respect because I'm so devoted to what I do, you know, when I'm there, especially I have the time and I was doing it. And I was thinking, Prabhupada does an amazing job because this has become a way of life. And so I was, you know, like you said, a gradual detachment. But because it's become a way of life for us, we don't see how we have changed our life until we are put in a real opposite situation. And I mean, I don't mean like my brother is Muslim, 5 times a day, whatever they're doing, they stop and they say their prayer. So everybody has some kind of practice.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel so fortunate to Prabhupada save me, you know, that he understand, you know, the purpose of life, and I was able to say it and see it, you know. So anyhow, I really need to be in that position to see what Prabhupada has done for us.
Yeah, so kind. Thanks for sharing that. And it's totally true that the detachment comes gradually, and you don't actually even notice, and then all of a sudden, especially in family situations, they want to do X, Y, Z, and you're thinking, huh? I don't want to do that. You know, it's just a natural thing. Yes, dear.
Yeah,
We all have to go back over there.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Do you think that in ISKCON we have the right balance between attachment and detachment at this current stage?
That's a very good question that could be discussed at length. And it's a personal thing. We have the ability, we have the formula, we have the information, and now we individually need to come to the level of purification so that we can see. I know for myself, when I first joined back 100 years ago, my attitude was, my family's Maya, Krishna consciousness is real, etc., etc. That very drastic, it wasn't like instructed to us, it was just that neophyte conception, and if I could do it again, I would do it differently, but that took a while of my person, where I was at, and my personal level of understanding to apply it like that. So we've made a lot of progress. You have to say, you have to look and see that we've made a lot of progress as a society, as an institution. And yes, there's more progress and purification necessary, and the success will be improvement will come gradually as collectively we all become more purified. So it's not up to, and it's not that we think they have to get it together. They have to become more advanced. So what's our contribution to the success of our movement is our own more sincere endeavor for our own purification. And that, was it, rising tide saves all the ships. So they won't be stuck on that sandbank of fanatically detached and fanatically, attached and, or us and them or whatever side you want to get. But so Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, from imperfection, perfection will come. Why? Because the process is pure. So as the number of personalities of people involved become more and more attached to the process, then the purification will come. Shanai, shanai. Gradually, gradually. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Very nice class.
Hare Krishna.
That more we are advancing, we value things we do, we reflect, we contemplate again, reflect. Now, this is not, I don't need, I want to spend more time. So, I feel renunciation is the result of genuine spiritual emotion. So, more we are actually spiritually attached, detachment will naturally come when we don't look so much of detaching, but detachment is the result of attachment to Krishna consciousness. This is what I feel.
Thank you. Confirmed by the scriptures. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gopuram Anandi, Hari Hari Bol.